Be good if we prayed for Joe. Do you know why?
You just did.
Oh, you did. I was in the bathroom.
Kathy did.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. What was up? Yeah. This is gonna begin a little bit kind of funny, a little weird maybe for you. Back in the 1860s, so right around the Civil War time, there was a very thriving business. It was coffin making, and there's just a lot going on, back during the war, and it became a fairly big business. And when they made the coffins, they took a whole bunch of brass tacks and they tacked down the lid of the coffin, and they did elaborate types of design with the brass tacks, and this is where the phrase "getting down to brass tacks" came from.
Is that where it came from?
That's where it came from. Yeah, to get down to brass tacks means you're getting down to some serious business, and in this case, you're talking about the ultimate place that we all come to, and that is where we pass from this life into the next, so that's what that's all about. So when we talk about getting down to brass tacks, we're talking about something that where you need to get to the details of what's really important. That's how getting down to brass tacks. That's what it's evolved into. But it came from that, from the coffin making back in the 1860s. So it's kind of sobering to some degree.
It's kind of getting down to the end.
Yeah, and other terms that we use are getting to the nitty gritty, yes, which would mean the same thing as getting down to brass tacks, getting to the nitty gritty of something, getting to the nuts and bolts of something. All of this is all talking about the same thing. Where we need to talk about things that are very important right now. We need to address certain things, and so over the course of since the beginning of the year, here are the titles of the messages that we've had over the course of the since January 1st. The first one was on vision, and then the second one was on we're in the world, but we're not of it. The third one was a prepared faith to be perseverant. The fourth one was effective prayer. Reggie gave that one. Seek and keep on seeking was the fifth one. Stay the path, about knowing His ways. His ways are higher than our ways, and we have to. All of that. And then last week was on having renewed minds. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and our thoughts need to conform to His thoughts. So that's what we've been talking about here. I when I was asking the Lord for what the message should be for today, He led me to 1 Peter chapter 5. So that's where we're going to start. 1 Peter chapter 5. I really, really don't even need this Bible because it is falling apart on me. 1 Peter 5. It looks like I have a whole bunch of stuff here, but really I don't, because I typed out all the scriptures instead of just putting the reference down. I typed the whole thing out because I was afraid to pick this up and have it fall off of my hands. So. So I'm gonna read it off in here, but realize, I mean, you know, what's here is what's in here, okay? So, but this is what it says. Oh, I didn't tell you. 1 Peter 5, verse 8. Now, when we get down to something, when we get down to things that, have immediate practical importance, and God wants to stress something for right now, and we call a message from God that is for this very moment. It's not just anything that you might read in the scriptures, but when he's really emphasizing something that's in his word and what he wants to say to us as individuals or us as a group, we say that's a rhema word from God. It's the right now word from God, and that's very, very important for us. And we get that through the word of God itself, and God moves on us and touches us and shows us things that we need to really be aware of at the time. And I think that, you know, we're talking about this whole thing of the nails in the coffin, the tacks in the coffin. You've heard that phrase before, right? Yeah, there's another nail in the coffin, right? They're talking about the tacks that they put on the top of the coffin lids. But there are things that we really need to be aware of here, and this is one that I think is really important. Really made an impression on me this week. We are in a deadly fight. We need to be aware that the enemy of our souls is looking to destroy us. The words that you heard in the music, all the songs that we sang, man, talk about encourage, just to be encouraged, and we know where our strength lies, and we know who has the victory, and that we have a great opportunity to be overcomers. It doesn't just fall on us. The opportunity is there to be an overcomer in life, but we must engage with God to experience on this side of life. We're getting it on the next side, but on this side of life, we need to be near him and engaged with him and love him and seek him with all of our hearts, right? Isn't that what we've got to do? And then we can experience that eternal life now. Mm-hmm. You really can't you? Mm-hmm. That's an important thing, I think. And what's important right now, I think it's very important for us to realize that there is an enemy out there, and because he's not seen, he doesn't just walk in the door and there he is. He plays in our minds. He works in the background and causes things to happen. He pulls on us and goes after us in terms of our weaknesses and our lusts and all of that, and tries to lead us so that at some point he can destroy us. Right? This is what it says in 1 Peter 5:8. Be of a sober spirit. Now, most of us say, we understand we've got to have a sober spirit, but that certainly doesn't mean that we're not going to laugh and we're going to have fun with one another. And if this church does anything, we tease a lot, don't we?
Yeah.
And we have fun with one another. But what's in back of all of that, and the way that we relate and all of that, is a very sober attitude. A sober spirit. We need to realize that life in this world is not a bed of roses, and that God doesn't just put us in bubbles and everything just goes the way we want to all the time. And we all know that by experience, don't we? We know it by experience. So And it says here, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Well, if God's just taking care of us, what do we need to be on the alert for? Do you see? There is a balance in the Word of God that shows us that, yes, if we're relying on Him and we seek Him with all of our heart, if we're looking for Him to change us and to be sensitive and attentive to His Spirit leading us, then we're in a real good, strong place. Isn't that right? But He does say to us, we better be on the alert. We have responsibility in all of this. The responsibility isn't all on God. All of the power is on God.
Yeah.
Everything that's good and right comes from God. Mm-hmm. Isn't that right?
Yes. Yes.
But we need to connect. Mm-hmm. We need to be alert. We need to be prepared for the things of this life, and not shrink and run into a corner because life is too much for us. You know that?
Yeah.
God wants that from us. He wants us to realize, He's got all the power. Things happen in this life. Good people die. Good people have things bad happen to them. The rain falls on the just and the unjust, doesn't it?
Yes.
That's all part of the whole picture of what this life is about, living in this fallen world. Mm-hmm. So it isn't just a bed of roses for people that are Christians. And we need to realize that. And we've got to realize there is this spiritual being who leads a host of thousands, maybe millions, I don't know, of other fallen spiritual beings that work on us, try to get us, lead us away. And it says, so we need to be on the alert because your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Now, we're way separated from the real imagery of that. You know, have you ever gone on the internet and watched, these videos of lions going after their prey?
No.
See, most people aren't going to do that. I did. Because when I read this in the scripture, you know, I want to know, well, what was that like? What is that really? You know, and you walk. You see the eyes of the gazelle, you know, and they're as wide as they can be, and you can see the fear, and you know that if I don't get away from this, that's the end of me,
right?
Yes.
Yep.
And I think that's really important that we have that kind of imagery, that we understand we're not playing around here. This isn't playing church. This isn't playing Christianity. Mm-hmm. We are in a life and death struggle. Good thing we sang all those songs, because it gives you encouragement to know that He is with us. Greater is He that's in us than He who's in the world.
Yes.
But that doesn't mean we don't have to worry about anything. I can say with my mouth and think in my heart, I have God on my side, and He's going to help me through everything, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you all of us think that,
yeah,
right? But I also know I better be on the alert. I better have a sober mind the way I look at life and how I progress through this life, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's the right kind of balance that comes from the Lord Himself. John 10:10 says, the thief, talking about the enemy, comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I come that they might have life and have it abundantly. There's the big difference, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's so funny that we can still choose darkness and we can still choose death by the little choices we make through the day. Isn't that weird? Because we all want life, and we all want life abundant.
Right.
And that's why we got to be sober and realize what we're doing. And realize when we're getting drawn to a place where we shouldn't be going. Right?
Yes.
No, that's fine.
The other night, Chuck and I were watching exactly what you were just talking about. A lion who was, this was on TV, and yeah. This lion was approaching, I think it was an antelope, and he was so slow and calculating, and he was able to get within feet of this, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And that animal had no idea how close he was.
Thank you.
He was so silent, and it makes me think about what you're saying.
Yes.
That Satan can get so close and he's so sneaky. We don't even know he's there before he pounces. So.
I mean, what a great point to make. And thank you for that. You know, he does.
He's sneaky.
You know, you ever watch? If you have pet cats at home. And it's all real slow. They're looking, and you know, they're trying to sneak up on a whatever, a mouse sometimes. I mean, they can get pretty darn close. And you know, those cats, they like to play with their victims too.
Okay.
The enemy likes to play around with you. You know? Pull at you and get you to, and then you find that you're trapped in a way of thinking or with a lust or you know, whatever it might be, and there you are and you're trapped, and he just makes you feel bad because that this is the kind of person you've become, and you can't find a way, you don't think you have the power to get out of something, and you know, he's and swatting you on the head, you know, Bip, you're no good. You're no good. Look at you. Why should you even go to church? Right? Yeah, I mean, you know, things like that happen to lots of people. I know there's a lot of people, different reasons why they're not here, but it would be nice to have this place filled up. Not to have this place filled up, but to have people that are hearing the Word of God, excited about Jesus, moving in strength and having the back and forth that we need to grow and be encouraged by what one another has to bring.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's what we want, right? Somebody said something about the fear of man, and I wrote this down. You know, there's all kinds of ways that this enemy tries to destroy us, and you know, whether it's I just wrote down this, what I can think of off the top of my head: alcoholism, abusing power, sexual sin, heresy, addiction, money, fear of man, and that was mentioned. I thought that would be a good place. You know, the enemy throws things at our mind. I'm teaching at the college a particular course, and last week we talked about propaganda. Now, does everybody know what propaganda is?
It's everywhere.
Huh? It's everywhere. And it's the twisting of truth. And sometimes it's just an outright lie that is portrayed as truth. Right? And I thought this was a very interesting quotation that a philosopher named Eric Hoffer said. He said, "Propaganda does not deceive people. It merely helps them to deceive themselves." Yeah. I think that's really true. What's in our heart? We hear something, and we sometimes we want to be deceived, don't we?
Malcolm?
Yeah, go ahead.
There's a
I have this written in the front of my Bible. This is a quote from C.S. Lewis. What you see and what you hear depends a great deal on where you are standing. It also depends on what sort of person you are, which is the same idea.
Yes, the kind of person you are.
Yeah, or the your history, where you come from, you know, all that colors how you see something.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. It's true.
And that's what, you know, some of the what was said last week about the renewed minds, the way we think and our mind habits, how we look at and view life. We want it to be how God sees things, don't we?
Yes.
And none of us are there yet. Mm-hmm. We all have a ways to go. But we're going in that direction, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
I think we've all made that kind of determination in our hearts that we don't want just to have the milk of the word. We don't want to just be fed like babies and only hear the nice, beautiful, wonderful things about Jesus. We need to know the very important hard facts about living in this life. Things like this, there's an enemy that's always after you. He's always prowling around, looking for a way to knock you off course. Always. And if he can do it through lusts or heresies or whatever, he's going to do whatever he can. He's going to sneak up and he's going to do whatever he can. And that's why we need to be alert. And I think God is saying that to us. Watch out this week. Be really alert this week. Is there a sin that so easily besets you and you're not even that aware that it does easily beset you? And there's the enemy pulling his little strings. You know, the little puppet master up. And I can get this person right where I want them. And so we can start cutting those things off. Amen? All right. So what I want you to do now, I want you to go to Luke chapter 11. Hi, Luke. Luke chapter 11. Verse 17.
That's why, too, Malcolm, that we need each other.
Yes.
We need to have that confidence in each other that if somebody calls us out on it, we're not afraid to go back and inspect our own lives and say, does this have validity or does it not?
Yes.
If it doesn't have validity, then you're free and clear.
Right.
But if it has validity, then you need to deal with it.
You have to hold whatever somebody says to you, whether you think you understand where the person's coming from or not. You've got to at least hold that before God.
Yeah.
Don't you?
Yeah.
All of us do. Yeah.
I had a sister in the Lord call me out on something a while ago, and rather than being offended, I really had to look at myself and say,
is that true?
And it was true. And I didn't realize it until she called me out on it, and I appreciated that more than being offended. It's like, okay, this is what God wants me to work on now.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. Yeah, and that's really, really important, isn't it?
Yeah.
These little things, what we might consider like little things, are really important for us to move on in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I had somebody say something to me last week after the service, and I wasn't even aware that I had, I don't know, offended, but at least hurt somebody, and I didn't know. You know, and that made me go and look and say, you know, am I that obtuse? Like, I'm missing some things that I should have seen. So, you know, I go to God and I said, please, God, make me more sensitive to be able to. You know, nobody's perfect, and I'm not whipping myself, but I do have to. You and I have to look at our lives and be people that are willing to be told, even though we don't like it most of the time. But we need this if we're gonna keep walking on with God, if we're gonna grow and mature in Christ. Yes, Steve.
Well, And by the same token, are we willing to say something to somebody?
That's another thing.
A big piece of broccoli stuck in your front teeth. Would you like someone, you know, your friend to tell you? Yeah. Or you smile with a piece of green thing.
You trying to tell me something?
Because sometimes that's more difficult than accepting.
That's yeah. true, too, Steve.
Yeah. Accepting, not criticism, but whatever you want to call
right.
it.
Yeah. Right. I think there's a lot of us here that, you know, hold back from saying something sometimes because we're afraid of the reaction that somebody's going to get, or what are they going to think of me? Who do I think I am?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
They're going to think, who do they think I am? You know, boy, you really think a whole bunch about yourself. You know, you come in saying something to me, but that's a real important point too. And I think there's a lot more of us not being forward with people than us saying something to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think there's more of that man fear type of thing.
Taking offense, when you take offense to something someone said or did, that is the playground of a lot of children.
Mm-hmm.
Offense in them is one of the devil's.
I think there's more, and I include myself. There's more of an oversensitivity in lots of church-going people than there are with people in the world.
Yes.
We're so easily offended because we want to appear as spiritual, and we want other people to think of us as spiritual. And when somebody says something to us, that means they don't see us so spiritual in that regard. And that kind of offends us because that's not the way we want to portray ourselves. Really, I mean, in the church world in general. Now, I'm not saying that so much for us. But, you know, I look at myself and I go, well, if the shoe fits, wear it, Malcolm. So, you know, if that's something that you can say, yeah, well, maybe I am a little touchy about that. In our minds, we want to say, no, I'm not touchy. Anybody can say whatever they want to. But then when it happens, it's not such a wonderful thing. Right? And you find out, oh, maybe I am a little more touchy. I've noticed that about myself. I think, you know, I can take anything that anybody says, and somebody comes and says something to me, and then, you know, I'm hurt. And I'm oversensitive. And I can hide it, but I go home and I cry. No, I don't. Maybe I do sometimes. But that does happen to us, because we want people to love us and accept us and all of that. Now, something I'm going to get to here too is as far as what's really important right now for us. So here we have this enemy, right? We have this enemy. And then in Luke chapter 11, and I'm going to read verse 17, and then I'm going to, you could read that whole section from 17 down to the end, but I'm going to jump down for time's sake down to verse 21 through 28 after that. But let's just read 17. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falls. Right? So we're talking about, we have an enemy. And you know, one of the things that the enemy does real well? Divides us from one another.
Yeah.
Doesn't he?
Yeah.
There's this, you know, and it's real easy because we're all humans and we don't see everything the same way, and we can rub one another the wrong way sometimes, right? And then that kind of stays in our craw, and then the next time something happens, oh, here's some more evidence this person doesn't really like me, and the enemy rolls all kinds of stuff around in our heads, and we build up something that lots of times just isn't there.
Mm-hmm.
Just isn't there.
Mm. It's true.
I've been surprised numbers of times. John, go ahead.
I won't say totally off topic. It's totally on topic, but somewhat worldly, I guess. But if you read J.R.R. Tolkien, there's an awful lot of parallels and things like that. He was a Christian. Him and C.S. Lewis were friends. but the movie The Desolation of Smaug, which is one of the Hobbits movies, and I just watched that, and as I was reading this verse, I'm sort of like, you know what, like, you think of Smaug the dragon coming in and burning everything, that's what he does, right? Yeah. But the whole point of that movie is actually the division that happens between all the different groups of people. Mm-hmm. They all want the dragon's gold, and they all find their ways to excuse and fight against each other, and they all argue with each other all the way. That's the whole point of the movie.
And that's the whole point.
It's a house divided.
Yes.
All these people that should be, and they're fighting against this orc horde, which is represented by demons and whatever else. There's a lot of parallels.
Right.
Parallels. You're sort of like, they should be united against this group.
And here they are divided.
Evil. Exactly.
And here they are divided.
And it causes desolation.
And this really happens in the Christian world a lot. Doesn't it?
Yeah.
All right, let's jump down to verse 21, because there's a number of things here I want to point out. Verse 21. When a strong man is armed and guards his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor wherein he's trusted and divides his spoils. Then Jesus says this, he that is not with me is against me. That should really keep us very, very sensitive to the Spirit of God. You know, in a general sense, we're with God. We want to serve God. We know He's our Savior. We know that He's our Lord. And so, yeah. But there are different things that happen day by day where we need to make the right choices to show, you know, to be connected with Him, right? And if we're not with Him, we're against Him. Ooh, right. Wow.
No middle ground.
There's no middle ground. He says here, and he that doesn't gather with me scatters. We certainly don't want to be those kind of people. We don't want to be people that scatter people away from God. We don't want to be people that you know, are not really with Him in our minds and hearts. Verse 24. And then he says, when the unclean spirit has gone out of a man, he walks through dry places seeking rest. And finding none, he says, I'll return to the house where I came out. And when he comes, he finds it swept and garnished. And then he goes and takes to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of the man is worse than the first. We got to be real careful in this battling with the spirit realm. Right? We need to move on with God, otherwise we're sitting ducks. You know that?
Yes.
And again, this goes back to the point Reggie just made a little bit ago. We need each other. You and I are not going to be Mr. Spiritual Muscle Man, where you are a rock and an island and you don't need anybody else. Not even you. Right? We need one another. And that's why the Lord doesn't want us to be divided from one another. And we can be divided in our minds and hearts from one another and still be nice to each other. Right? So we need to be careful. I don't know all the stuff that's coming up, but I do know that God's been saying this, and that we need to be ready. We need to be alert. We need to have a sober spirit, because the enemy's out there and he's looking to do something. He's looking to trap you or me. He's looking to do anything that he can to take us out of the way, to destroy us, to devour us if he can. So let's read. This is really interesting what happens here about the woman. Verse 27. And it came to pass, as he spoke these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, Blessed is the womb that bare you, and the breast which you have sucked. But he said, No, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. On the contrary. No. That's not what's really important. Who my mother was. That's what Jesus is saying there. No. The real brass tacks here, the real thing that's really important for you and I to get, is not about the mother of Jesus, but that you be a person that read the Word of God and you observe the Word of God. That's what's really important. Now we're getting to the brass tacks. Right? Do you see that?
Yeah.
He's like, oh, no, wait a minute. On the contrary. No, what's really important is that you hear the Word of God and you observe the Word of God. That's what's really important. Isn't that right? So, we do have to be reading so that we can observe. All right. Last scripture. Well, no. Almost the last scripture. Proverbs chapter 10. And I'll be reading verses 16 and 17. It says this. The labor of the righteous tends to life. The fruit of the wicked to sin. He is in the path of life that keeps instruction, or who is disciplined. But he that refuses reproof misses the mark. You know, I have written here, and I think this gets down to the brass tacks of something that the Lord wants to say to us today. In that verse 17, I have it written down this way, because one of the translations says it like this: the road that leads to life is a disciplined life. There are things that I think the Lord wants to speak to you, to me, through this week about little habit areas, little things that need to change. Because little things where we're more disciplined in our life, you know, discipline begets more discipline. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
When you're disciplined in one area of your life, it just starts carrying over into some other areas, either by your own direction or it just happens that way. That discipline of whatever it might be, you choose what it is. But yeah, go ahead.
That's like the saying about you don't ask the person who doesn't have much to do something. It's usually busier people who get even, I don't know how to say it exactly, but
yeah,
they accept the responsibility and they don't see it as a burden. I think of Vicky.
Yeah.
She volunteers more than, you know, most people I know.
Yeah.
And then she's willing to just go that extra step too, you know. Oh yeah, I can do that.
Yeah.
You know, it's just amazing. The same is true of discipline, I think.
Yeah.
You know, if you're disciplined in one area, you can accept that.
The habit of that discipline goes into the other areas of your life. You just do it. You're trained that way. You think that way.
Yeah.
And that's really going to be important for us as the light of the world, the salt of the earth, that we be those people that are actually functioning like that. The Lord's going to show you something. Some little thing that you could change where you're going to be more disciplined, and it's going to make a difference for in your life. It's going to. I know this. I know this is what the Lord had said. I came across a really neat thing. Did you want to say something?
Yeah, you said discipline leads to more discipline.
Yeah.
Is that why when I was young I got spanked a lot?
I think that that's very true. Yes. I thought this was really neat. I read this someplace. I wish it was something I had come up with on my own. But little hinges swing big doors. Isn't that cool? A little thing that you do in your life can open up something real big for you. You get that? And when I read that, I'm like, boy, that is really true. I've noticed little things that I decided I was going to start to do in my life, and down the line, not like automatically or right away, but somewhere down the line from after I started making those decisions and making those changes in my life, wow, I don't think that way anymore. What happened to that fear? What's going on over... your big things can happen from little changes that you allow the Lord to make. It doesn't have to be big, and it doesn't have to be all kinds of stuff. Just let the Lord speak to you, to your heart, about change here. Make that change. Step away from being afraid to talk to that person. Go out there and talk to that person. Well, big deal. So I don't talk to that person. What's the difference? What difference is that little thing going to make? No, it can mean a real big thing. Mm-hmm. Couldn't it? Mm-hmm. It's amazing what the Lord will do. And doing little things can open up big doors. Mm-hmm. Amen? Mm-hmm. Kathy had put in the bulletin Psalm 27, which I thought was really good.
It's on the front.
I have that. 13 and 14, right? I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. There's so much there's all these things that happen in life, and we can be discouraged really easily. But you know what? God is a good God. Yes. And we can see what He does in this land. And when we connect with Him, it's great. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and He will strengthen your heart. I just thought that was really great. I have this other thing down here, but I think I'm going to wait until some other time to bring this. One last comment, and then I'm going to close. We talked about it in the elders' room the other not too long ago here. Being grateful for what we have is really, really an important thing. It does set the right kind of tone so that we can really hear from the Lord. There's this guy that I listen to on, and he's not a preacher or anything. This is a health guy, and he's talking about how stress is a real big killer, a real drain on your body. Opens your body up to ill health. And he said the biggest thing that helps people with stress is to be grateful. Yes. The simple thing of every day, thanking God or thanking the significant people in your life, thanking them and being grateful for who they are and what God's given us. Haven't you found that to be true? Any time that you have been grateful, it does do something for you. And it does relieve the stress.
Attitude
of gratitude.
That's what that song was about. Jesus is enough.
Yeah, Jesus is enough. Just grateful that he's in our lives. Yes, ma'am.
So if we live in the most stressed out creation in creation ever, what does that say about us?
That does say something, doesn't it, John? It does, doesn't it? Because, hey, we have everything here in America. And we forget how wonderful it is that God has been so gracious to us. You know, the land that we have. Well, Lord, I thank you today, and I ask that you bless this message to us, this that we have this desire, Lord, to serve you and to be sure that we're getting down to brass tacks, to the things that really matter, that you show us at this time. And Lord, we know that we have you for protection and for guidance. We also know, Lord, that the enemy is in this world and that we need to stay alert and be on guard. We give you praise today, Lord. Be with all of us, and the Lord, that we could listen to what you have to say and be obedient in the little things. In Jesus' name, amen.